the law of the burnt offering, I'm going to apply this to New Testament economy. Look at this. Chapter 6 and verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and he shall not be, and it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now here's what I want to preach about this morning for just a few minutes. Simply this: keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. What's wrong with Christians and what's wrong with churches is simply this: the fire's gone out. Amen? The fire's gone out. And what preachers are trying to do, and what preachers try so hard to do, is to stir the fire and try to rekindle the fire and try to get their churches fired up. It's hard to do in this day and age. Now the fire, if you look over in Leviticus chapter 9, the fire is not something that comes from you. It's not something that comes from me. It's not something you see. You go to churches and they'll lead you to believe that it's something we can conjure up or something that we can produce. But if you look in chapter number 9 in verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went out the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. In verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed the altar. Are you reading with me? Verse 24. And consumed upon the altar the burnt offering of the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And the Bible said, verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord. Now the fire comes from God. If you'll remember when you got saved, there was a fire that began in your heart, in your soul. You don't start the fire. God starts the fire. But it's up to you to keep the fire burning. Amen? And so it's up to us to keep that fire going. It's a direct command of God for us to keep that fire going. Now, a fire is used for a lot of different things. It's used for heat. It's used for cooking. It's used for protection. It's used for signal and help. On the day of Pentecost, it was for propulsion to get the church going. If you'll remember, a few days before the day of Pentecost, the disciples were hiding. They were hiding out. They were scared. But once the Holy Ghost came down and the fire hit them, man, they went out of that place. They was everywhere. And they put them in jail and beat them and turned them loose, and they went right back out and kept preaching. Once that fire gets started, brother, people go wild. You can take a bunch of church people and you can't get them to do nothing. They're dead in the water, dried up, can't get anything out of them. You can send them on a youth trip and they'll come back fired up, or spend a few days at camp and they get on fire. That fire gets stirred up. Man, they come back. You can take them to Walmart. You can take them to the mall. Take them anywhere. They're not the least bit timid. They'll stand out on the street corner and they'll start preaching, passing out tracts to strangers. You know what the difference is? That fire starts burning. They didn't learn more. They didn't get more educated. They didn't learn more Bible. They didn't memorize more Bible verses. What happened was that fire that had got down to a little flicker, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started flaming that thing and it started burning again. I want to tell you something, brother and sister. There was a fire got started in me in 1958. And all down through the years, there's been ebbs and flows, and there's been times it's got down to a flicker. And honestly, I thought it was going to go out, but it never went out. It's never gone completely out. There's been times I'll be riding down the road, and I'll hear a song, and it'll stir that fire, and it'll start blowing again, and it'll start flaming back up again. Oh, and I'll hear somebody preach something. I'll hear somebody on the internet. I'll click on a sermon. Boy, that flame will start burning, and I'll think, my God, I want to preach again. I'll get so discouraged, I think I don't even want to preach anymore. I don't think I want to pastor anymore. I think I'm through with this. Hey, I ain't old enough to retire. I mean, I ain't but 57. I'm a young sprout, bless God. The devil tells me I'm old, wore out. I'm too old for this. I'm done. I got news for him. I ain't that old, bless God. I might be broke down here and there and got some scars, but I ain't done yet. I'll tell you what, brother, I'll hear somebody preach something. I'll hear old Harry Nix get up there and start preaching about honeybees, building a honeycomb, and about our church being one of them honeycombs. We're making honey. Boy, I'll sit there and get fired up, and I'll think, glory to God. Listen, I'll hear some liberal preacher get up, and he ain't half preaching. He ain't even using a real Bible. I'm sitting there listening to that, and I'm thinking, my God, I can do better than that. I ain't much of a preacher, but I can beat that all to pieces. I'm going to tell you something, brother. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost fanning that flame. I get stirred up, and it makes me want to preach. I'll hear the choir get up and say, there ain't but one name. It's not Allah. No, sir. It ain't Buddha. You don't meditate and cross your legs and light incense. No, sir. It's the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that He is Lord of lords and King of kings. To the glory of God the Father, they're all going to bow. It's Jesus. It's all about Him. It's always been about Him. It's always going to be about Him. I want to tell you what, the fire. We need to get the fire burning again. It'll do something to you. It'll make you want to read your Bible. It'll make you want to go to church. It'll make you want to witness. It'll even make you tolerate your mother-in-law. That's a big one right there. I want to tell you, first of all, I want you to look at the command. The command, the Bible tells us here for us to keep the fire burning. It wasn't an option. I want you to notice in verses 9 and 12, the Bible said the fire is to be burning in it, in the altar. What an amazing thing. I was studying on this thing, preacher, and I saw that it didn't say on the altar, but it said in the altar. Romans chapter 12 said for us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We are the altar. I mean, we're to lay ourselves on the altar of God. And the Bible said the fire is to be burned in it. Hey, brother, listen, we are to keep this fire burning. It's up to you and it's up to me to keep this fire burning. Hey, Paul said, hey, the Bible said it's to be burning. It's to be burning in the verse 9 and verse 12. He said the fire is to be burning in the altar. Oh, brother, I about shouted. I about had to clear me off a spot and start turning cartwheels. The Bible said we're supposed to be burning. Our fire is to burn. And it said at night. The Bible said that they to burn that fire at night. Paul said the night is far spent and the day's at hand. It's night time everywhere you look. Every time I turn the news on, every day I'll jump up and run to the television and turn the news on. I want to see the top story, see what they're talking about, just so I know what's going on. It's night time. It's dark. It's a dismal day. That's why I got to stir the fire. I got to read this blessed book. I got to stay in close contact with my Lord. I got to keep this fire burning down in my soul. There's probably nothing a preacher can say that'll motivate a person in 2015 to make them want to get busy for God. You're going to have to fan that flame. Most Christian people do nothing to further the cause or to do anything for Jesus. Most Christian people never pick up a gospel tract. I venture to say there's probably not two people in this audience got a gospel tract in your purse or in your wallet. There might be two people. Two or three. That's a crime. Praise the Lord, brother.
I know Brother Sam carries them around. I ain't saying nobody does, but I'm saying most people, it's not a priority. I mean, most people just don't care. And you know why that is? Because the flame's not burning like it used to. I mean, when I first got, I keep in my truck. I'm not bragging. I keep in my truck. I keep them everywhere. They're all over the place. I got stuff on my truck. I mean, sometimes people drive by and tip the horn, wave at me. Sometimes they drive by and give me a half a peace sign. When they do that, I know what they're talking about. I just wave at them. Sometimes they want to pick a fight. Sometimes they want to argue. But I'm here to tell you something, brother. Most people just don't care. Most Christian people live their entire Christian life and never witness to anybody. Never pass out a tract. Never invite folks to church. I'm going to tell you why that is. It's because deep down in their heart, that altar, listen, it's just as cold. It's cold as a mother-in-law's kiss. I want to tell you something, brother. It's the icy cold, just a block of ice. It's like you open the cooler. It's cold out inside there. It's like opening the freezer door. I mean, brother, it's like the death angel's breath. I mean, there ain't nothing hot and burning in there. There ain't nothing sizzling and burning that makes them want to witness and talk to somebody about their soul. You want to get an uncomfortable conversation started, you start talking to a man about eternity. Amen. Have you ever been in the hospital room before and the nurses walk in, you're talking about Jesus? You're talking about somebody's eternal destiny? It's awkward. They act real weird. I mean, brother, you'd think, I mean, you can be talking about anything. They'll all walk in there and all chipper in their lap. But you're standing there. You're talking about dying, and you're talking about going to hell, and you're talking about Jesus. You're talking about the Bible, and they all act real weird, like, oh boy, oh gosh, this is terrible. And they go ahead and they're like putting the Band-Aid on whatever, or getting the bedpan out of the way, and they're like, oh gosh, I better get out of here before he starts on me. There's no telling what he's going to do. I feel like saying, drop that bedpan, you heifer, I'm going to talk to you next. Ain't that the truth? I mean, brother, listen, it's terrible. I mean, brother, folks are living so close to eternity, they don't even care that they're going to hell. You know I'm telling the truth. People need to get that fire burning. The Bible said in verse 9 and 12 that the fire is to be burning in it. I'll tell you something else. The Bible said there, notice in verse 12, he said in verse number 12 that it shall never be put out. It shall never be put out. Let me tell you what some people's problem is. They've let their fire be put out. Don't let your fire be put out. You've lived for God. When you first got saved, nothing would let your fire be put out. Nothing bothered you. When you first got saved, you was on fire for God. I mean, man, you was going wide open like a buzzsaw. When I first got saved, I was like a windmill in a tornado. Nothing bothered me. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You're so full of the power of God, you was walking 10 feet off the ground. Then you start letting things cause your fire to be put out. I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this too long. I look at people. I know there's people sitting right here under the sound of my voice 6 days a week. Not just you, handful of people. There's a bunch of people listening. And your fire gets put out because of all sorts of different things. You don't have the joy of the Lord like you used to. Yeah, that's right. Church stuff and people and circumstances and stress and work and doubt and discouragement, hardships and heartache and heartbreak and mishaps and mistakes and criticism and misunderstandings and mistreatment and abuse. I know what I'm talking about. I've suffered abuse too. People say, preacher, I've been abused. So have I. I'm a Baptist preacher. I've suffered spiritual abuse. I've been treated like a dog. I don't want to hear it. Grow up and put it behind you. Put it under the blood. Forget about it and move on. Every pastor has been abused spiritually. Treated like a dog. Talked about like a dog. Lied on. People, you birth people into the family of God. And then years later, they leave and never come back. You don't know where they're at. And they won't speak to you. How'd you like that? How'd you like to have children? Natural children. You bring into the world and you raise them up. They graduate high school and you pay their way through college, and then they never speak to you again. How'd you like that? The same way spiritually. You birth people in the family of God and you nurture them along for several years, baptize them, marry their children, bury their dead, then they quit church and you never see them again. How'd you like that? Love them. Love them with all your heart. I'm so scarred up, if you could see me spiritually, I look like I've been through World War II and Vietnam put together. My hand up to God, that's the way it is. Ask any pastor. That's why pastors quit. Sometimes you just can't take it anymore. You're hurt so bad. Amen. It leaves you jaded and scarred and you're hurt. People say, well, don't you go take a vacation? How are you going to do that? You're on call 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Amen. It's hard. You just keep on going. Just keep on going. Amen. It'll cause your fire to be put out if you're not careful. Fault finding, finger pointing, and failures of the past will haunt you and make your fire be put out. Pressures will harden you and make your fire be put out. People will hurt you and make your fire be put out. Problems will harass you and make your fire be put out. Don't let those things cause your fire to be put out. Some of these things will come along and throw cold water on your fire and cause it to be put out. I know this. I've seen some of you come to church and tears run down your face and seen you raise your hand. And now you come to church, it's all you can do just to come and sit here for 1 hour and get up and leave and go get in your car and go home. I know what I'm talking about. Read you like a book. The devil will put your fire out and the world will put your fire out. Your friends, your family, your foes, every kind of thing I can think of in this world will put your fire out. Amen. But I'll tell you something else. Verse 13 said something entirely different. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. He said in verse 12, it shall never be put out, but verse 13 said, it shall never go out. That's a whole different thing. Having something put out and having something go out is two different things. Having something put out is when the fire department comes with a great big hose and puts it out on purpose, but having something go out is when you're at home in bed and you got a fire bill and you're laying there asleep and you just ignore it and you just, you know, you just avoid it and you just kind of let it go and pay it no attention, and you walk by one day and you notice it's cold. Your house is cold. And you look over and the fire ain't burning. It's just some embers and ashes. You just let it go out. That's not being put out. You can't blame that on other people. You can't blame that on the church. You can't blame that on the preacher. You can't even blame that on the devil. That's on you. When it goes out, that's on you. Amen? The Bible said, try the spirits. Try the spirits. Not always talking about what you think it is. Well, there's all kinds of spirits that'll cause your fire just to go out. You know, your fire can just go out. I remember when we used to have when I was growing up, we had a wood stove and a coal stove. Daddy used, we'd burn wood half the time, coal half the time. It was one of them kind of stoves. Daddy would make us take the ashes out. I hated that job. Hated it. But if you didn't empty it out, the fire wouldn't burn right. And I hated that job. Daddy'd make us do it. The fire'd go out. You know what? Indifference make your fire go. Y'all listen to me. Hey, I'm still preaching up here. Indifference will make your fire go out. Well, I just don't care. I don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. You know what that'll do to you? You better start caring. It'll make your fire just go out. Jesus cared. He walked all the way out. Listen, he could have went the same way the disciples did, but he went out of his way to see a little old woman had been married 5 times. The woman they called the little hussy. Down at the well, she's down there at a different time than the rest of the women, drawing that well, the water out of the well. She was so ashamed of herself, she wouldn't go the normal time the rest of the women. He went out of his way to go talk to her. He cared. I just don't care. I don't care. The indifference. I don't even care anymore. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. Indifference will make your fire go out. You better start caring. Idleness will make your fire go out. Jesus said in Matthew 20, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. He went by and they were lazy and wouldn't work. He said the first will be last and the last will be first. You know why churches die? Sometimes it ain't because of trouble. It ain't they had a big fight and they voted on this and that and this and that. You know what I'm noticing about churches anymore? They're just lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy. The Bible said idleness and laziness is wicked. Just lazy. People won't do nothing. Let me tell you something. Every pastor, pick one. Just name anybody. Pick somebody besides me. Ask them what's wrong with the majority of churches. You got about two or three people do everything and the rest of them just ride along. Ride the train and clank the bell. Fuss and holler and gripe. Run to the deacons if they don't like something. You go jump on that preacher and you tell him blah, 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 blah. And the ones that fuss and holler don't do nothing. And don't pay tithes and they don't cook and clean up. And they'll go get into, usually they'll take a stack of leftovers with them though. And they won't mow the grass and they won't clean the church. And they don't pay their tithes. Am I preaching now? We're still preaching now. Yeah. Yeah, it's preaching time, people. I'm telling you, brother, I know how this thing works. I've been in a long time. I ought to call myself a PhD, a post hole digger. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to church work. You can go up here to this church up the street, across the road. I know how it is. I can go right across the road. I don't know hardly anybody over there. A bunch of them know me because you see me around town. I preached around some of them before. They know who I am. And I know a few of them. I guarantee the ones over there, there's two or three of them does all the work. This church about where he goes, it's a big, used to be a lot bigger than what it is now. I went up there in the 90s. Preacher got up at one time. There's about 600 or 700 people there on a Sunday night. He said, I need some volunteers to do something. I figured it'd be 400 men volunteer. There's 6 men volunteered. Amen. He said, okay, I need volunteers to do something else. The same 6 men. There's like 600 people sitting there at places. It was over half. They ran 1,000 on Sunday morning. I thought, what in the world's wrong with this place? But you know what the problem is? Lazy. Idle and lazy. Every church is that way. Amen. Preacher, I wish you wouldn't say all that stuff. Why? It's the truth. It's the truth. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 6? Many of his disciples turned and walked with him no more. In the very next verse, he turned and looked at them. He said, will you also go away? You know what they were saying? It's too much involved in all this. I don't want to have to do all that. I don't have to get out of my comfort zone. I don't have to get dirty. It's going to cost too much money. This is too icky. Yuck. I don't want to do this. How about y'all? Y'all want to have the same attitude? That's why I said the first thing you got to do to be in this is deny yourself. Y'all ain't going to cut it. You ain't going to make it. That's right. Lack of involvement. Sitting by and watching. The spirit of criticism. The spirit of envy. The uncooperative spirit. I wasn't asked to cook my favorite casserole. I wasn't asked to sing. She sung my song. Ain't nobody said amen. You know what? I must have hit about half of you. I started out good a while ago, didn't I? I'm still preaching. I'm still preaching. I cooked my favorite dish and brought it to the church. Somebody got my casserole dish and never returned it. I can't believe in women. Little. Every church has got a woman that's got a tongue 40 foot long. As a woman came to my daddy one time, she said, preacher, I've been gossiping, I don't lay my tongue on the altar. He said, sis, this altar ain't but 30 foot long. Lay her out there. Whatever's left over, we'll chop the rest of it off. That's right. That hurts, don't it? That's right. The spirit of carnality, the spirit of jealousy. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The spirit of lust, spirit of covetousness, the spirit of greed, the spirit of incontent. The Bible said, be content with your wages. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Be content for once in your life and serve God. This preacher here is leaving everything behind and going to an unknown world. Taking his whole entire family. He don't know what he's going to face out there. Amen. It'll cause your fire to go out. Constantly wanting something else, wanting something else. Because this generation, if they had a brand new truck, they ain't satisfied unless they got a new boat to put behind it. That's all I ever seen. I ain't never seen nothing like it. This generation, you can hand them a $100 bill, and they won't even say thank you. They just turn around and look at you like, it's about time. That's the attitude of these kids nowadays. Honest to God, that's the way they're made. That's the way their mind works. Seriously. You can give a kid a new car, they'll just take the keys and look at it and they'll say, well, I'd rather had red. Am I telling it right? You give a kid a brand new Mustang, a black one, and they'll go, did it not have any red ones? Really? They're not content. That's why there's no fire burning in the church. Secondly, I want to talk to you a minute about the cause. I want to tell you why the fire's not burning. Here's the cause. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Verse number 12. He said, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering. Look at the next two words. In order. He shall lay the burnt offering in order. Maybe your fire's not burning because your life's out of order. Now this society thinks there's no real order to anything. You see that in this presidential election coming up, where we got somebody on the Democratic side. Now I'm not preaching to politics. You can be Democrat or Republican, don't matter to me. But you got somebody that's done something crooked on the Democratic side. It don't seem to matter, and the Republicans could do the same thing. They can run around with the women and everything. It's like it don't matter. But God has a way. Everything has to be in order or He won't bless it. Amen. He will not bless it if it's not in order. Maybe your life's out of order is why your fire has gone out. God will not bless a church that's out of order. He won't bless a family. Maybe your family is out of order. Maybe your tithing is out of order. Preacher, I can't get my ends to meet. If you're robbing God, they ain't going to meet. Amen? Your marital status. Husbands, get it right. Wives, get it right. Children, get in line. Your church members, support your pastor and don't fight against him. You'll lose spiritually. Your business life. If God's blessing your business, you're not giving back to God, you'll reap it down the road. Pastor, if your church is out of order, you'll not have the unction of the Holy Ghost on it. If a pastor is running a church and he ain't running it right, he's letting things go on in the church that ain't right, if it ain't scriptural, God's hand is not going to be on that church. If a preacher's letting things go on in the church, it's not scriptural, God's not going to bless that church. He's not going to bless that ministry. Because maybe your life's just out of order. Well, I just believe that the Lord would let us blah, blah, blah. He understands. No, He don't, if it's against the Bible. Amen. Thirdly, don't you notice the correction? The correction is verse 12, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. I notice that part about the wood. That's an interesting thing about the wood. That shows us that everything in our lives is to be under the shadow of the cross. Colossians 1:20 said, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Over there in Exodus 15, the Bible said they'd come out by the Red Sea and they went out in the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and they couldn't find water, and the waters were bitter. And they began to cry out against Moses. And the Bible said, verse 25, and Moses, he cried unto the Lord, and of all things, the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. And he cast that tree into the waters. And that's a beautiful picture of the cross of Calvary. And when he threw that tree into those bitter waters, those waters were made sweet. And those people went down out of that water and began to drink it, and it was sweet. Boy, I got to thinking about that. I want to tell you something this morning, brother and sister. That's how you correct the fact that there's no fire in your life anymore. You get everything under the shadow of the cross. And if you'll start looking at that cross again, it'll make the fires burn again. And another story's in number 21. The Bible said that they griped and complained and they began to sin. And the Bible said that the serpents came out and began to bite them. You know the story. And the Bible said Moses cried unto the Lord and he lifted up. He made that brazen serpent and he lifted up that serpent on a pole and he said, whosoever shall look, he shall live. And they looked up at that brazen serpent and God had mercy and spared those people. That's a picture of Jesus on the cross. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up high. I want to tell you something, even today, when you're at your doctor's office, or all those medical insignias, people don't even know what that means. That symbol, that little serpent on that pole, that means healing. What that That means it's a spiritual healing. Even to this day, that means when you look at the cross and in belief, in faith, that's all they had to do. They didn't have to do any works. They didn't have to do none of this stuff or that Catholic stuff. They didn't have to do any works. They didn't have to dance around. They didn't have to do anything. They just had to look at that pole, that wooden pole, and they saw that serpent. Oh, that's a picture of Jesus dying. That represented sin hanging down that pole. Oh, brother, I want to tell you something this morning. Hey, brother, listen, if you want the fire to burn again, you better go to the cross. You better go back to where it all started. Hey, don't try to fix everything in your life. Go back to the cross and let Jesus fix everything in your life, and the fire will start burning again. You'll find out the fire is still there. It just needs to be rekindled again. And the Bible said, if you back up in verse 10, the Bible said the priest changed his linen garment and took those ashes and took them ashes from the altar and took them out of the tabernacle into a clean place and emptied the ashes. That linen represents the fine purity of the truth of the Word of God. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you don't empty those ashes daily, your fires are going to go out. You got to dump, come to this altar and dump your ashes. You got to come to this altar and dump your ashes. You know what the problem is, folks? Your fire's going out because you ain't cleaned off the altar of your life and your heart. I remember we had a fireplace up there when we lived in South Carolina. Boy, it's fun. We used to enjoy that fireplace. And the only downside to it was, in the wintertime, it's real cold. Every two or three days, I had some fire dogs in there. You know what those are. I'd get that little shovel in there, and I'd clean it out, get them ashes out, and had them with them metal buckets. And I'd clean them out. And I got to wonder, what does that clean place mean? You got to take them to a special place and dump them ashes out. You can't just take them anywhere. What's that mean? Your ashes, you can't just dump them out anywhere. You got to take them to a clean place. Don't dump them out riding home in front of your kids. Don't you and your wife talk about all everything in front of your youngins. Don't air out your grievances in front of the kids. They don't need to hear that. Take them to a clean place. You know, Daddy used to say, he'd say, now, boy, when you take them ashes out, you better not take them down there to the chicken lot and dump them where my laying hens are. That'd burn up the chicken pen. That ain't going to do no good. Don't take them out there to the hog pen, or don't take them. I had a little pony barn down there. I had some ponies. Don't take them down there. You know where to take them. I have to make sure there's a clean place. See, everything in the Word of God's for a reason. Everything. There's a clean place right up here, people. Take it to a clean place. Hey, you might get on Facebook, air out your dirty laundry. That's not a clean place. Take your ashes to a clean place. You know what that clean place is? It's the foot of Calvary. I can go to Brother Sam and tell him everything. He's a good friend. But that ain't really a clean place because he can't help me. But I can go to Jesus at the foot of the cross. I can tell him everything. I can dump my ashes. Keep it clean. Keep it clean. And if you don't, the fire's going to go out. You're going to have nothing but ashes in there. And you can't, you can fan it all you want to. The fire ain't going to burn with all them ashes in there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You get a fireplace or a stove full of ashes, it ain't going to burn. You take them ashes to a bad place, you take them ashes and dump them out somewhere in a dirty place or a bad, God meant for them to go to a clean place. Clean place. God's got a place for your ashes. Right up here in this old-fashioned altar. And that's where you better take them. That's why God never meant for you to take your dirty ashes of your life to another man and talk to him through a peephole. Father, I have sinned. Forgive me. He can't forgive you. He's a sinner too. He's a sinner. He can't tell you. You say, I've committed adultery. That's another man over. He's committing adultery too, probably. What good is it going to do you to tell another man through a peephole that you don't even know? That's the craziest thing in the world. We have a high priest in heaven. He can help you. You Dump them ashes and get your heart clean. Put them in a clean place. Nobody ever know about it. It won't catch fire. You put them ashes somewhere where it'll catch fire, brother. I'm telling you. Put them on Facebook, start blabbing your business and see if it don't catch something else on fire and burn something else up and destroy something else. Is everybody getting what I'm saying? You take your ashes out and take them in a bad place and catch something else on fire and do more damage, you ain't doing no good. Take them to a clean place and put them down and leave them. And God will bless it. Let's get the fire burning again. Let the Holy Ghost start fanning it. A fire needs fuel. It needs ventilation. It needs all those things. And you can get the fire burning in your heart again. Let's stand this morning.